Jesus, the Messiah. Evidence of the Messiah. Theme text: There was written Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. John 19, verse 19. Undeniably, Christianity has existed since the first century. Jesus' teachings have been preserved in the New Testament and read and followed by hundreds of millions. In spite of this, there are those who question his existence and others who have doubts about the veracity of his teachings. These cite a lack of early historical sources as the main reason for apprehension. Beyond this, agnostics are skeptical of the New Testament text itself as a reliable narrative of history. With these challenges in view, we ask the fundamental question: upon what basis do we believe in Jesus? Faith is based on a reasoned consideration of evidence. Secular evidence for the existence of Jesus. First century references. The earliest mention of Jesus outside the New Testament is in the writings of the historian Thalos around 55 AD. Unfortunately, his original writings are lost, but later historians quote them, notably Sextus Julius Africanus and Georgius Silenius. Thalos seems to refer to the darkness at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. However, the certitude of these references is diminished as the original writings are lost to history. A much more definitive account comes from a Roman senator and historian by the name of Tacitus. He confirms the existence of Jesus and corroborates some historical details of Jesus' death. Consequently, to get rid of the report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hatred for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origins, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of its procurators, Pontius Pilatus, and a most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source of the evil, but even in Rome, where all things hideous and shameful from every part of the world find their center and become popular. From Tacitus's Annals, Book 15, in AD 62-65. In this single historical quote, we have secular certitude of Jesus' existence, and that Jesus did indeed die at the hands of Pontius Pilate, as the Gospels describe. Josephus, from 37 AD to 100 AD, a well-known Jewish historian, refers to Jesus twice in his book, The Antiquity of the Jews. Festus was now dead, and Albinus was but upon the road. So he, high priest Ananus, assembled the Sanhedrin of judges and brought before them the brother of Jesus, who was called Christ, whose name was James, and some others or some of his companions. And when he had formed an accusation against them as breakers of the law, he delivered them to be stoned. This is from Flavius Josephus's Antiquity of the Jews 29:1. The second is the Testimonium Flavianum, Antiquities 18:3-3, which appears largely genuine. Here is the text, as constructed by Edwin Yamachew: about this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he was one who wrought surprising feats and was a teacher of such people as accepted the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Christ. When Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing amongst us, had condemned him to be crucified, those who had in the first place come to love him did not give up their affection for him. On the third day he appeared to them restored to life, for the prophets of God had prophesied these and countless other marvelous things about him. And the tribe of the Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared. Cited from an excellent review of Testimonium Flavianum and its implications, as well as the sources, may be found at carm.org/regarding-quotes historian Josephus about Jesus. The Arabic version of Agapius omits he was the Christ or Messiah, and if indeed one ought to call him a man, so we should consider those statements unconfirmed. Agapius similarly omits the word truth. Agapius says, they reported at the beginning of on the third day he appeared, marvelous things about him. So we may accept that Josephus reported it and not that he necessarily believed it. Whether Josephus copied from an account derived from Emmaus' account, Luke 24, 13-27, remains to be seen. In summary, what can we conclude from these two secular ancient historians? We can be confident that, first, Jesus was definitely a man who existed in the first century. Second, he had a brother named James. Third, he was called Christos in the Greek. Fourth, he was executed during Pontius Pilate's governorship in the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Fifth, he was crucified, the standard Roman method of execution. And sixth, he developed a large following of Jews and Gentiles, so much so that by the reign of Nero, they were the scapegoats for a burning Rome in 64 AD. Another early reference to Jesus is found in a letter from Mar Bar Serapim, a Stoic philosopher from the Roman province of Syria. Most scholars date it to shortly after 73 AD. It was written to his son while he was a prisoner. Here is a portion of a key passage. What else can we say? When the wise are forcibly dragged off by tyrants, their wisdom is captured by insults, and their minds are oppressed and without defense. What advantage did the Athenians gain from murdering Socrates? Famine and plague came upon them as a punishment for their crime. What advantage did the men of Samos gain from burning Pythagoras? In a moment, their land was covered with sand. What advantage did the Jews gain from executing their wise king? It was just after that their kingdom was abolished. God justly avenged these three wise men. The Athenians died of hunger, the Samians were overwhelmed by the sea, and the Jews, desolate and driven from their own kingdom, live in complete dispersion. But Socrates is not dead because of Plato, neither is Pythagoras because of the statue of Juno, nor is the wise king because of the new law he laid down. Mar Bar Serapion was not a Christian, but he was familiar with the history in the region. The wise king here is Jesus. He links the execution of Jesus with the punishment of the Jews by the Romans in 70 to 73 AD. Also interesting is the reference to a new law. Though he was not knowledgeable of the teachings of Jesus, he identified the different behavior of Christians in that ancient world and attributed it to a new law teaching of the wise King Jesus. As a first century reference, it strongly reinforces the evidence for Jesus' existence. Second century references. Pliny the Younger was governor of Pontus Bithynia from 111 to 113 AD. He wrote to the Roman Emperor Trajan, reigning from 98 to 117 AD, "I have never participated in trials of Christians. I therefore do not know what offenses it is the practice to punish or investigate, and to what extent. And I have been not a little hesitant as to whether there should be any distinction on account of age or no difference between the very young and the more mature, whether pardon is to be granted for the repentance, or if a man has once been a Christian, it does him no good to have ceased to be one, whether the name itself, even without offenses, or only the offenses associated with the name are to be punished. Meanwhile, in the case of those who were denounced to me as Christians, I have observed the following procedure. I interrogated these as to whether they were Christians. Those who confessed, I interrogated a second and a third time, threatening them with punishment. Those who persisted, I ordered executed." He goes on to describe much more about how Christians worshipped and behaved. Historians even have a response to his letter from Emperor Trajan, approving his treatment of Christians. This letter demonstrates that the disciples of Jesus were active and public in their worship early in the second century. This would hardly be expected from a non-existent figure in history. Biblical evidence of Jesus as Messiah. Within the Bible itself, there are numerous prophecies and types that depicted the ministry of Jesus. Prophecy demonstrates something that cannot be explained in secular rational terms, namely, that the future is predicted within the text of the Bible. The Passover Lamb. Most people are familiar with the Passover historical tradition, as it has been made into several movies and videos that have wide exposure. Notably, the 1958 movie, The Ten Commandments, which repeatedly exposed a full generation to the details of this Jewish tradition. When we evaluate several of the important details of this narrative, we are awed at the parallel with the experience of Jesus' death. Here are just a few prophecies which were singularly fulfilled in Jesus. First, the Passover lamb was killed on the 14th of Nisan, so was Jesus, Leviticus 23, verse 5. The Passover lamb was killed at 3 p.m. Jesus died at 3 p.m., Exodus 12, verse 6. See also reprint 29:53, Between Evenings, a Jewish View. Third, no bones of the Passover lamb were broken. None of Jesus' bones were broken, Exodus 12, verse 46. Fourth, Abraham's interrupted sacrifice of Isaac was on Mount Moriah. Jesus' crucifixion was either on Mount Moriah or very near. Fifth, Moses lifted up the copper serpent on a cross. Jesus was lifted up on a cross, Numbers 21, verse 9, and John 3:14. Note, the Hebrew scriptures report the copper serpent was placed on a pole. As such, there must be a cross member to lay the serpent on and maintain it at the top of the pole. Therefore, it had to be some form of cross. Sixth, Jesus' garments would be taken from him by lot, Psalms 22, verse 18, and Matthew 27, verse 35. These prophetic pictures and many, many others were in the Hebrew scriptures centuries before Jesus' birth. We see no natural explanation for knowing the future. This is the domain of God. He provides it for the faithful so that they may know with certainty that Jesus Christ is indeed the promised seed of Abraham that will bless all the families of the earth. The conclusion of this superficial survey of evidence of Jesus' existence and evidence from the Bible that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament demonstrates that our faith is based on sound reasons and is not without foundation. We can, therefore, accept Jesus as our Lord and Master and follow him with confidence. The reward is peace of mind today and afterwards the opportunity to bless mankind forever.